Good afternoon. It is Friday, October 4th, 2019, and this is Ozarks at Large on your public radio station, 91.3 KUAF, a listener-supported service of the School of Journalism and Strategic Media at the University of Arkansas. Ahead this afternoon, the band Basement Brew sits down in the Furman Garner Performance Studio with Ozarks at Large's Timothy Dennis. We'll hear a couple of songs from their brand new record in our second half hour today. And later this afternoon on 91.3 on Science Friday, did you know when you are watching TV, TV is watching you? Join Ira Flato on today's Science Friday for a closer look at how your smart TV is collecting information about you, and so are the other Internet of Things devices in your home. Who's using your personal data and why on Science Friday beginning at 1 this afternoon on 91.3. Choctoberfest is already underway in downtown Bentonville. This is the first Friday for October, and as the name suggests, there are chalk artists and painters all over the square. There are also food trucks, vendors, and some live music, too. Music starts at 4 this afternoon, and the headliners, Boom Kinetic, start playing at 6:45 tonight. A full rundown available at downtownbentonville.org. This is Ozarks at Large. While many places are reducing what they accept for recycling because there's no market for it, a new recycling program is spreading through Northwest Arkansas breweries. The effort to recycle plastic handles from six-packs came from a local woman who wanted to find ways to recycle as many household items as she could. Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda has more.
Stephanie Garman-Hackman says her involvement with recycling and sustainability has been a progression, and she learned of its importance at an early age.
I've really kind of always had that as part of my life. Like, growing up, I lived more out in the country where we really didn't have trash service or recycling, but we did, like, the can crusher thing, you know. So it was something that my dad kind of taught me growing up, and we've always been really big into being in the outdoors and being part of nature and all of that. So I think it just kind of grew from that place.
As she started her career, Garman-Hackman looked for groups to join where she could channel that passion.
It's really just kind of about, you know, trying to reduce waste, but also not really wasting anything in life. So whether that be materials, whether that be time, whether that be the resources of our planet, just anything around that is kind of where that passion, I guess, comes from.
Her latest project came from an audit of household waste at the beginning of the year.
I recycle everything that we can. I even take, like, my number fives over to Whole Foods and participate in a mail-in program called TerraCycle. So we don't really produce a lot of waste in our household. We compost, we buy in bulk, but we still had stuff. And I was still, like, we buy a lot of beer and like to support local breweries and cideries. Why do we not have something for this? And Fossil Cove had tried to recycle theirs for a while, and I was intrigued by that. I was like, oh, we can recycle this. And then they figured out that there's actually not a program locally to support that. So then they stopped collecting.
So she looked up PackTuck, the maker of the plastic handles, and found they had a mail-in recycling program.
I was just going to go collect, you know, handles from the different breweries and just mail them in. And they were like, well, actually, we're trying to really try not to, you know, mail into a central location where our carbon footprint of the transportation of that might really offset the benefits of recycling it. So they told me that they had local plastic reprocessors or more regional, I guess, throughout the U.S. that they're trying to partner breweries in different locations with.
PackTuck introduced her to a regional plastic reprocessor in Missouri called Jamplast.
So they basically collect the handles and pelletize them, and then they sell them back to PackTuck, and then PackTuck makes more handles out of them, but also things like composite decking and flower pots and different things. And their handles are already 100% post-consumer recycled material, so the handle itself is already on its second life. They're just trying to create a third or fourth and so on.
The next step was finding a local recycler who could pick up and store the handles until they had a quantity large enough to transport them to Jamplast. Total Recycling agreed to participate and is now collecting the handles and selling them to Jamplast. Once everyone was on board, PackTech sent small blue collection bins, which started popping up in local breweries like New Province Brewing Company in Rogers in August. Hannah Gillum, taproom and events manager at New Province, says they had been looking for more recycling options, so this program was a great fit.
She's a regular customer here, so she just came in and reached out to me one day about would we even be interested in possibly recycling those, which was a huge yes, obviously, for us. You know, not only do we have people obviously buying cans in packs here, we also are canning them here and packing them here. So if there's ever an issue with a PackTech piece, we just have to throw it away. And that was such a waste before. So now we can actually make sure that those get recycled and made back into PackTech handles so that we can use them again.
Through their new partnership with Total Recycling, Gillum says New Province is able to recycle more materials.
So now it's cans, cardboard, and plastic. So the majority of our waste is being reused. Besides regular trash, you know, in the back we have grains that are spent grains after we've done using them. We give those to a local pig farmer. And then there are other materials like the bags for our grains, even some of our cans and different things that we would typically throw out, we actually give to a lady that makes jewelry and purses and stuff like that. So a lot of the things here are being able to be recycled now, which is really cool.
Nearly a dozen businesses are participating in the recycling program, including Fossil Cove Brewing Company, Liquor World, The Holler, and Pack Rat Outdoor Center. Stephanie Garman-Hackman says while recycling may seem like the right thing to do, it can sometimes be difficult to implement because it is still a business. In this instance, Total Recycling will sell the holders to Jamplast, who will pelletize them and then sell the material back to PackTech and other companies.
Recycling programs, they're all market-based. It's not just a charity program where we, you know, put something away and it goes out of our mind and then it magically gets turned into something for free. So at the same time, there has to be markets there to support it. And if we are buying materials that are actually made from recycled materials, it then fuels the market more so that we're actually using or encouraging companies to use recycled materials instead of virgin materials. So it's kind of a loop there. So it's free for us as consumers, but at the same time, if we don't support companies that use this type of material, they're not going to do it out of the goodness of their heart.
Although it took several months to get the program up and running, Garman-Hackman says it was worth it.
Now I don't have to throw something away. And now, you know, possibly, you know, thousands of people in the area don't have to throw that away. And so it's just one more small impact that we can have in our local community to kind of decrease that waste and to turn it into something that's actually beneficial.
For more information on how to participate in the program, you can email Stephanie at sngarman@gmail.com. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
And with me on this first Friday in October from his office in Fort Smith is Michael Tilley with Talk Business and Politics. Happy Friday, Michael.
Well, it certainly doesn't feel like the first Friday in October.
No, it doesn't. It feels like the third one in maybe May or June. I don't know. Cooler weather is coming, they tell us.
Yeah, my favorite meme so far is that this is the 71st day of July or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Well, let's talk about some numbers related to tourism in Fort Smith. Travel and tourism business in the Fort Smith Metro up for the first half of 2019. Can we attribute this to anything in particular?
Well, now that's a good question. I've talked to officials in the business and, you know, they're just saying it's an increase in business travel and an increase in people willing to kind of open up their pocketbooks and go out and eat and do that type of thing. But if you remember in the Fort Smith Metro, which primarily is the Fort Smith, Sebastian County, and Crawford County, Van Buren, 2018 was a flat year. It was not really a good year. But the first half of 2019 has really been a good rebound. Revenue's up. Arkansas's 2% tourism tax revenue is up almost 10% in Crawford County. And hospitality tax collections in Fort Smith are up almost 6% in the first half of the year compared to the same period in 2018. And in Van Buren, their hospitality tax collections are up 3.3% in the first half of the year. And so in Van Buren, they have hotel and prepared food tax, where in Fort Smith it's just a hotel tax. And kind of by way of comparison, Arkansas statewide, Arkansas 2% tourism tax in the first 6 months was up 4.1%. Like I said, in Crawford County, it was up almost 10%. And Sebastian County was up 6.5%. So those two counties are doing better than the state as a whole. So, again, I wish I had a definitive answer to your question, but it just seems like everything I hear just points to more business travel and people, like I said, people more willing to open up their pocketbooks and go out to eat or go see a movie. Or
I may be making this too simple, but that sounds like consumer confidence is up, because isn't spending often related to consumer confidence?
Yeah, I mean, depending on which economist you want to look at, you know, consumer spending is, you know, anywhere from 65 to 75% of economic activity. So, yeah, I mean, that's a driver. Now, you know, we've been hearing lately, in these last few weeks, about signs showing that possible recession in the U.S. manufacturing sector and some other downward data in terms of economic trends. So we'll see if any of that trickles down to the metro economy in terms of travel and tourism.
Well, let's see if the metro economy is eventually affected by an addition to Tankersley Food Service headquarters. They're filing for, what, a $6 million building permit?
Yes, $6.1 million. And, of course, that's just the building permit. That doesn't, you know, account for the full investment for, you know, furniture, fixtures, equipment, that kind of thing. But, yeah, and that's part of the overall building activity. You know, the Fort Smith Metro, which we look at, permit numbers from Fort Smith, the Greenwood, and Van Buren, they're, for the first part of the year, they were really down. I mean, at one point, I think they were down almost 20%. But through September, the building permit activity in those three cities combined for $161.4 million, and that's down just 5% now from last year. So through the year, it's catching up, and we'll see how it finishes out the year. But a big help in September was that Tankersley Food Service addition there in Van Buren. It's Van Buren that's in the Industrial Park area. So it's essentially a service bay. It's an equipment maintenance facility for all of their delivery trucks. You know, they provide, you know, food and snacks to military bases, you know, convenience stores. I mean, a lot of places. They opened an office in Oklahoma City in 2018, and they plan on using that to enter that North Dallas market. If anyone's been to Dallas recently, that interstate going in, it just seems to another new town almost pops up overnight.
All right, what do these have in common? Banking, logistics, health education, and beer.
Well, I don't know what they have in common, but I like beer the best.
At the right time, banking comes in handy.
Well, I mean, look, you need, you know, transportation to get the beer out. You need banking to finance making the beer. I guess you need Arkansas College's health education to produce the doctors in case you drink too much beer.
There you go. There you go.
Now, those were all part of our inaugural Western Arkansas Business of the Year Awards, and it's sponsored by OG&E. They helped us put this on. And I want to reiterate, this is not a social media campaign. People don't have to buy ads. It's not based on anything except for we look at their business success and what they do for the community, you know, so overall community impact and business impact. And so ArcBest was the business of the year in the large category, which is 300 employees or more. Small business, although it was First National Bank, Fort Smith, although you wouldn't think of a small business.
But fewer than 300 employees.
Right, it is in the 300 employees, which I was surprised when you add in some of their ancillary businesses in Oklahoma and Northwest Arkansas. They're over 300, but we just look for this metro area. But Fort Smith Brewing was the brewing company was a startup, and then the nonprofit was the Arkansas Colleges of Health Education. So we had a good event for them Tuesday to recognize them, and we shared a little story. 1,000 years ago, when I worked for the Chamber of Commerce, we had a board chairman, Jack White, and he was the Arkansas manager for OG&E at the time. And he had this saying, when a meeting would get to drawing, you know, too long, or we'd be focused on things he didn't think were substantial. He'd interrupt and say, okay, I don't have time to count paper clips. Let's move on. And that always stuck with me. And so we talked about it. That's the word ceremony. These companies, you know, ArcVest, you know, they operate in a dog-eat-dog logistics and shipping world where you either innovate or you go out of business. They definitely aren't counting paper clips. And First National Bank of Fort Smith, heavily regulated industry, and they not only have to operate in that industry, but, you know, they've been putting their money where their mouth is in terms of downtown development, support of the Morrison Museum, that type of thing. Fort Smith Brewing Company, you know, anyone that's willing to get in the very volatile craft beer company, you know, they're not sitting around counting paper clips. And then anyone that knows what's going on with the Arkansas College of Health Education, with the Osteopathic College, they know that Kyle Parker and his crew up there, definitely not sitting around counting paper clips. So anyway, that was kind of the theme for the event, and we were proud to have that group. It was a good group of award winners for our inaugural year.
Well, congratulations on that event. And I guess if you're at like Staples or something, somebody does have to count the paper clips though, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess.
Somewhere
has to count. I mean, they come in boxes. I've never really counted before. I just grab a box, I guess.
Yeah, like 100 count or something. All right.
There you go.
Michael Tilley is with Talk Business and Politics. He joins us almost every Friday. Michael, have a great, warmer than expected first weekend of October.
I will try. And you as well, sir.
All right, thank you.
Arkansas Community Foundation delivers county-by-county data on key community indicators at aspirearkansas.org. Better data means better decisions. Smart giving to improve communities. aspirearkansas.org for more information. Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art is open until 9 p.m. Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays. Permanent galleries, nighttime views of the Frank Lloyd Wright House, plus dinner and drinks at 11 overlooking the Natural Pond are all available to visitors. crystalbridges.org for more information.
Congratulations to that stingy Arkansas soccer defense. Last night, the Razorbacks shut out Mississippi 3-0 in Fayetteville. Arkansas, ranked 15th in the country, has now allowed just one goal in the last 847 minutes of play. Up next, a match at LSU Thursday night. Ahead on this edition of Ozarks, we welcome the weekend with music in the Furman Garner Performance Studio with Basement Brew. New music, brand new music from the Carver Center for Public Radio ahead on this edition of Ozarks at Large. The Momentary in Bentonville won't be open for another 5 months, but in the meantime, Director Levin Bertel says people are invited this weekend to get a small taste of what's to come.
We have announced a little earlier this fall the opening date of February 22nd, and we thought it was a good moment now to bring together the community to give them a first experience of what the Momentary is about and to also experience the Momentary Green or outdoor space, and that's what the event now on October 5th is all about.
The Meet the Momentary event will take place Saturday, tomorrow, from 3 to 7 p.m. It's free, but registration is recommended. He says this felt like the right time to introduce the community to the former food plant that's being turned into a contemporary art venue and a satellite to Crystal Bridges.
One of the things that we felt was that a lot of people know about the Momentary, but they don't really know what it is. And so we thought it was a good idea to bring people together and to get them more acquainted with the idea of the Momentary, the type of events that we're going to host, to present to them the team and also some of the artists. So very excitingly, we're having Nick Cave in town, who is the featured artist for the second large exhibition that we will have at the Momentary from July 18th onwards next year.
Nick Cave is a Chicago-based African-American artist who will be speaking about his upcoming exhibition titled Until. Bertel says attendees can also expect plenty of food and live music provided by Hot 8 Brass Band and a DJ. While the building is not quite finished, people who sign up to become a Momentary member will get a preview of the inside.
We have one space, the Roadhouse, that will be open, and members will be allowed to look at the Roadhouse under construction. It's a very exciting concert hall, and you will be the first people to see that space if you are a member.
The Momentary is just west of 8th Street Market. He says parking for the event will be provided on J Street within walking distance of the venue.
But we do encourage those people that can make it on bike to bike in. We are offering valet bike parking together with our friends from Visit Bentonville.
Dogs are also welcome, provided they're on a leash. To register for Meet the Momentary, you can go to themomentary.org.
This month's Short Talks from the Hill features Michael Plovkin, professor of anthropology at the University of Arkansas. He and several colleagues recently announced the discovery of Nanopithecus brownii, a new species of monkey that lived in Kenya 4.2 million years ago. Finding the Nanopithecus tooth in East Africa suggests these monkeys were probably living across wider swaths of the continent than previously thought.
Now this thing we can actually identify and link it up to a modern species. So this is the first thing that we found this old that actually indicates that the guenons are there at this time. The second thing is that being far away from where it lives today, it throws up a caution to people who are interested in the evolution of these animals, because it's saying that you can't just say where they live now and is going to be key to understanding their evolution.
To hear more, you can find Short Talks from the Hill at KUAF.com, or you can visit researchfrontiers.uark.edu.
It's Friday, October 4th, 2019. With me in the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio, Becca Martin-Brown, features editor at the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette. How are you?
So here's the conversation that happened before y'all got here. It was, I think this is the busiest weekend that I can remember ever in Northwest Arkansas, says Kyle, who actually still has a memory,
like me. And I, you know, as far as I can remember, I do not remember a weekend with so much happening.
In addition to the stuff that we're going to talk about, there's, oh, six or seven dozen charity fundraisers. And
yeah,
it's just, so there's no way, no matter how much I fold the space-time continuum, I cannot help you do it all this weekend.
And there's no way we're going to be able to mention everything.
No.
And some, and you know what? We'll just be honest. Some things have passed us by and we apologize.
Yes. But here are the things that I think you absolutely need to know about.
All right.
Tonight is the Northwest Arkansas Gridiron Show.
Tonight and tomorrow night.
You put a bunch of journalists together and they'll talk journalism. So it's a natural extension to put them together and let them write about it. Politics and religion and stump dumps and the purchase of Greenland and even, they've even found humor in Razorback football.
Well.
You'll laugh a lot. And the more wine you buy, the more you'll laugh, and the better the charitable cause, because the money from your $25 ticket for the Gridiron Show goes to scholarships for journalism students.
And we should point out, I don't think we have yet in this conversation, Gridiron is a production with music and comedy.
Right,
and
it's
like
a
that.
Review.
And it's all
with
about
a UE, not an IEW.
And it's about current events.
Yeah.
Both here in DC and abroad.
Yeah. And everything you buy at the concession stand, this happens at Arkansas Public Theater. So everything you buy at the concession stand, the proceeds of that go to Arkansas Public Theater, also a nonprofit. So, hey.
There you go.
Doors open at 6:45. It's arena seating. Showtime 7:30 today and tomorrow. Tickets are $25, plus whatever you spend at the concession stand. Boeing opens this weekend at University Theater.
This is a farce. It's French in origin, right?
It is French in origin, which is a little bit unusual. I mean, farces in general, well, they go back as far as man's history. But
right.
In general, one attributes farces to Shakespeare, like Comedy of Errors. This one is British. It's set in the 1960s, so semi-contemporary. The story is that there's a playboy who's juggling three girlfriends. And they're all flight attendants. Stewardesses, I suppose, at the time.
Right.
And that was fine. It was fine. Until jet air travel. And suddenly that flight across the Atlantic didn't take so long.
Now, this was written at that time, correct?
Yes.
It was a current view of
the world.
And how new jet travel was.
And it opened on Broadway and closed on Broadway before people even got through the ticket booth.
Right.
Opened in London and was open for a long time.
And did Jerry Lewis do a version of it, a movie version?
That I don't know, because I'm not the movie buff.
Okay.
But it is a really funny show with great period costumes. 7:30 today and tomorrow, 2 on Sunday at University Theater. The one we remember is University Theater on campus.
So it's not the one on the square.
Not the one on the square.
It's the one on the campus.
Exactly.
Okay.
Because the one on the square is busy being the Fayetteville Film Festival.
Oh, that's right. Oh, my goodness.
Tickets for Boeing are $20 for adults. Fayetteville Film Festival has 4 official selections, 4 films that they've picked as the
showcase.
Big dogs.
Showcase, yeah.
This one is called Buck Run, and it features Nolan Lyons from Boardwalk Empire as a heartbroken 15-year-old whose mother dies. He moves in with his estranged father, and predictably there are problems. It's already won a bunch of awards. First prize best feature at the Oscar-qualifying Flickers Rhode Island International Film Festival, the Orson Welles Award in Directing at the Tiberian International Film Festival.
Wow.
Best feature at Santorini Film Festival. This is a big gun. 8 o'clock tonight at the Global Campus Theater in downtown Fayetteville. Tickets are $8 for the individual shows.
That's what I was going to ask. So you can pick and choose. You can cherry pick if you want, but there's an overall.
Or there's an overall pass that's $50 or $80 VIP. And it's also Fall Fashion Week.
Oh, that's right.
Show at 6:30 tonight at Jet Aircraft on South School Avenue in Fayetteville. Tickets for that start at $25. Now we're to Saturday. And I'm tired already. The Fayetteville Film Festival afternoon selection is Above the Clouds, a film by Leon Chambers. On her 18th birthday, headstrong and artistic Charlie makes the startling discovery that the man married to her mother isn't her father and sets off on a road trip.
Okay.
To figure this out. Showtime is 1 o'clock at the Global Campus Theater. Again, $8 for an individual ticket, should they be available. Today and tomorrow and Sunday is also the Native American Cultural Celebration at the Museum of Native American History in Bentonville.
And that in itself is the weekend.
Could be
your weekend. All sorts of things.
And
oh
the
goodness.
Highlight, there's a Sasquatch story time
that I really want to go to. You know, I saw that on the schedule. I said, you know,
Becca's going to want to go to that. But the highlight is an evening with Wes Studi, who is big time actor. This happens at 6 o'clock, and there will be some other people there to discuss Native Americans in film with him. On October the 27th, he will become the first Native American actor to receive an Oscar.
Yeah.
An honorary Oscar, but an Oscar nonetheless. And this whole thing is free.
Right. Now, what you do want to do, though, is
make a reservation.
Yeah, because they're doing headcounts. They've got the big tent set up and everything. But go online and make sure. But here's the great thing. Like many festivals, if you miss out on one because you're too late, there's something else that maybe you don't know about, but just go to it.
Oh, yeah.
The mosaic making, the authors. It's huge.
Super cool.
Yeah.
It's MONAH, Mona.us online.
Just think Museum of Native American History.
Right. That'll get you through till Sunday.
Becca Martin Brown, features editor at the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette.
Ozarks at Large is underwritten in part by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation. Additional local support comes from Arcom Plus, providing digital and offset printing, graphic design and promotional items, and a variety of business services for jobs of all sizes. Located just off College Avenue at 461 East Township in Fayetteville, Arcom has been locally owned and operated for over 30 years. Printing NWA.com or 444-7711 for more information. Arkansas Philharmonic Small Bites is every third Tuesday starting October 15th, 6:30 p.m. at The Record in Bentonville. The event will include a variety of small bites, drinks, and a small bite concert featuring cellist Zachary Sweet. All ages welcome with Classical Kids Club. Tickets and information available at arkansasphilharmonic.org.
This is Ozarks at Large. The number of animals euthanized in the United States is dropping. According to the group Maddie's Fund, an organization working toward no-kill shelters across the country, 23 million animals were killed in 1970. But by 2010, that number had been reduced to fewer than 3.5 million animal deaths. Collecting such data is difficult, but the group believes the kill rates have fallen even more in the last 9 years. Locally, an effort to try to get a zero kill rate has launched. The Northwest Arkansas Partnership for Animal Welfare, or PAW, is a coalition of several organizations working toward a no-kill community. Yesterday, Jackie Roach, senior manager of Best Friends Animal Society in Bentonville, came to our studio to discuss the new coalition. She says her love of animals developed when she was a child, taking in stray cats.
And I would tell my mom lies about where they came from and what was going to happen to them. And I learned the power of a good story, because the better the story, the more apt she was to let me keep them.
So how has that evolved into what you're doing now?
Well, so, I guess I always had a cat, and I was a cat person. When I met the man I ended up marrying, we were going through kind of all of the things that I agree with this and don't agree with that. And I said, I'm a cat person. I'm not a dog person. I don't like dogs. We'll never have a dog. And we have quite a few dogs. Yeah. So I fell in love with the Siberian Husky breed and then rescued one from a local shelter when I was volunteering there. And I would look at her every day and I would think, my gosh, you almost died. She literally was on the euthanasia list due to her age and her health. She lived with me for 5 years, and I thought, well, gosh, when I retire, I'm going to start a Siberian Husky rescue. And then I kind of wondered about, well, what happens in between now and then? And so I started that rescue actually 9 years ago today. We took in our first Siberian Husky, rescued her, and we now have 300 volunteers. Tayshia Blue Rescue has 300 volunteers covering 6 states. And we've saved about 1,070 lives since then. And so I was working in corporate America at the time and was doing that. That was my hobby. That was my, you know, what I did on the weekends and nights. And a couple of years ago, I just decided that, you know what, I've had a good run at this, but I want to work in animal welfare. So I knew some people and heard about an opportunity to come here to Northwest Arkansas. And the rest is history. Here I am.
Well, history, but also much, you know, very much in the present,
yeah,
in the future of what's going to happen.
Yeah, I'm very excited. The company I work for, Best Friends Animal Society, has an initiative to save all healthy and treatable dogs and cats by 2025. We've thought about shelters taking animals in from animal control or wherever and sheltering them. But the idea is to have life-saving programs to get them out the front door alive. Mm. And so whether that's foster or adoption or transferring them to another organization, those are all considered what we call life-saving.
So how – you said there's still a lot of work to be done, including work to be done in Arkansas. What steps will be taken? I mean, you just mentioned some examples, but what sort of concrete steps will we see in the near future?
Well, right now, so in the entire state of Arkansas, there's two things that concern me. Number one is Arkansas has one of the lowest save rates in the country as
out
a percentage.
Of shelters?
In shelters,
okay.
Yes. So we have a lot of animals are still being killed in shelters. Now, some of that data is assumed data because we don't have good, accurate data. And Arkansas is kind of dead last in having accurate data. And so that is one of the things that I'm really riveting and exciting things that I'm going to be working on. But it is, because it helps us understand really what the need is. Right now, we estimate that there's about 12,000 dogs and cats being killed in Arkansas shelters every year.
Arkansas has a very low or a very unsuccessful save rate. What else about Arkansas?
Well, Northwest Arkansas is like this beacon of really good programming, which is really exciting. And that's what I love about Northwest Arkansas, is that the progressive programming that's being done in rescues and shelters in Northwest Arkansas is strong. There's some work to be done here, but it's really close. So, you know, we need some, some better data reporting in some cases and maybe some other programming and things to get animals out the front door. But that's kind of what the coalition is about, because no organization, I don't, none of us can do this on our own. We just need to work together and share tactics and best practices and resources with each other.
How many agencies, how many organizations are together in the coalition?
There's about 25 right now. It's Northwest Arkansas Partnership for Animal Welfare. We have 25. We just started. We just had our first kickoff meeting in June. So we're just in our infancy. But I would love to see all the municipal shelters being part of that coalition. Most of the rescue groups are. But I'm sure that there's some that I don't know of yet that aren't taking advantage of it.
Is part of getting the save rate better, having more people go to a shelter to find a pet than perhaps other places?
Well, yes, absolutely. Adoption, there are purebred dogs in shelters. There are great, healthy dogs in shelters. There's wonderful, loving dogs in shelters. There are puppies in shelters. Shelters and rescue organizations, and kind of lump everything into one in this conversation. But rather than buying from a breeder or from a pet store, adopt your best friend. It's amazing how much someone can tell you about that pet before you bring them home. We know that this particular dog has sensitivity to chicken, so you don't feed him chicken, this particular cat maybe doesn't like other cats or maybe wants to have other cats. I mean, you just learn so much about them that you wouldn't necessarily know if you just bought one.
How can people become involved or help?
Well, volunteer or donate to your favorite organization. If you have a favorite breed or affinity for a specific, cats or dogs, donate or volunteer your time to these organizations. They are all working so hard to do all the right things and to get these animals out alive. And, especially I think the municipal shelters, if you can go and volunteer and take dogs for walks or spend some time with the cats and give them some enrichment, that really goes a long way, and it helps them to become more adoptable when people do come in to adopt.
We're talking about animals, but another benefit of lowering the kill rate at shelters, I imagine, is helping the people that work at those shelters, because I think that would take a toll.
It absolutely does. I was thinking that on my drive here was how, and some of my colleagues who have worked extensively in sheltering will tell you stories about how they started to go to work for a shelter thinking they were going to be helping these animals and then had to actually be the person to euthanize them. And nobody wants to do that. I think removing those barriers for, people maybe that can't afford to buy from a breeder or buy from a pet store, removing some of those financial barriers to allowing somebody to adopt a vaccinated, spayed and neutered pet is also really good.
Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Jackie Roach is the senior manager with Best Friends Animal Society in Bentonville and is working as part of the new coalition Northwest Arkansas Partnership for Animal Welfare, or NWA PAW. She came to the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio yesterday. The group hosts an every other Sunday Save Them All event at Core Brewing in Springdale, where people can meet dogs and cats ready for adoption. Next event, October 13th from 1 to 4 at Core in Springdale.
Checks and balances. Democrats pressure the Trump administration. The president lashes out. Ukraine's role in the controversy and the nuts and bolts of an impeachment showdown. Also, Zadie Smith.
What I like is a kind of existential shock that you don't know what's coming next. You don't know where it's going to take you or why.
All that in the latest news Saturday on Weekend Edition from NPR News.
Weekend Edition Saturday with Scott Simon tomorrow morning from 7 to 9 on 91.3 KUAF. This is Ozarks at Large. The band Basement Brew has been around for the better part of a decade, though they have been mostly silent in the past few years. This weekend, they'll be silent no more when they release the new album, Big Damn Ocean. The band will release the album with a show Saturday night at Smoke and Barrel Tavern in Fayetteville. Three-fifths of the band, Lee Zadrow, Chris Fletcher, and Gideon Hayden, recently stopped by the Furman Garner Performance Studio at KUAF to give Ozarks at Large's Timothy Dennis a preview of the album.
So I guess I kind of think about it in a few different ways. This album revolves heavily around a trip I took to Japan in early 2016. And just flying over that ocean and being, you know, that's one of the lines from the first song is, you know, I'm halfway across this big damn ocean. And it's literally kind of that picture of just being out in the middle of nowhere. And then the album kind of explores it in a bigger way of, like, you know, you could say, like, macrocosm, microcosm. It's all a big damn ocean, you know, kind of thing. And you're kind of, you know, trying to find your way through it. So that's kind of the significance of that.
This album, it's been in production for quite a while. We were talking a few minutes ago.
Yeah, it's been a few years. We started it in 2016, shortly after I got back from that trip. And we've had a lot of just different, kind of, not snafus along the way, but our lead guitar player, Patrick George, lives in New Orleans. So me and local recording guru, Eric Whithands, went down there and rented out an Airbnb and set up a studio and got his parts for the record, which was really fun, staying right off the French Quarter. And so, you know, just a lot of stuff like that, just kind of like mobile guerrilla recordings and just
piecing it together
over the years. And yeah, so it's been quite a production. I'm ready to be, you know, release it and have it done.
Well, part of that piecemeal production actually happened in this room.
That's right. Yeah.
How does it feel coming back and playing these songs now with a band in this room on the same piano?
It feels great. I love the piano. Is awesome. So and actually, as we were doing our performance for this, I was you know, took me back to that day coming in here and laying down the piano tracks, which you were so gracious to allow us to do.
Right.
Thanks, Tim.
Yeah, of course. Is there something to be gained from doing an album like in stages like that, drawing it out? I mean, does it give it a different feel than if you were to track it live, like with the full band all at once?
I think so. I mean, we did track the bass tracks live, so bass, drums, guitar.
Yeah, we did that in one session, just in one day. Just put the bones down.
That's right, yeah. I think kind of drawing it out and over the course of a 2 or 3 years like we have also gives me has given me the opportunity to like listen to what we're doing, get sick of it, or like and realize like this I have to change this because like after you know after the 20th time this is boring or you know after you know or you come up with a new idea of like oh this would be cool if we did this here you know and I really wanted to take my time with this record and make it you know just as good as I possibly could.
I think it's cool that it came together for so long but still isn't overproduced, you know? I think that's pretty cool that you've been able to do that over the last so many years.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
But it's a, I think like working with Eric at Homestead, kind of our mantra the whole time was that it's ready when it's ready, you know, not to rush it and like there's no point in trying to push it out, you know, we're just working on it. Really as like a studio band right now, since we're not touring or anything like that, there's no pressure to get it out. So just, you know, make it, you know, and give it due diligence, you know.
How does it feel to finally be done working on it?
Feels good. I'm already excited about working on like the next album and the next stuff. Of course, it's going to be a great night at Smoke and Barrel, October 5th for the release show. So that's going to be really just a culmination for the whole project, and I'm looking forward to that so much.
And the release show, you've got some friends opening up for you.
Yes. So actually, Jamie Lou and friends are going to open up the night. She's going to have Meredith Kimbrough with her. She's going to have Christian Serrano Torres with her. So it's going to be an interesting band opening up the night, which will be cool. Just a dual bill between Jamie Lou and then us, Basement Brew. So it'll be a good night.
Well, what format can people find this album on once it's finally released?
So it'll be on all streaming platforms, Spotify, Amazon. We're on Napster, actually.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, Napster's still around?
Somehow they are, yeah.
What?
You know, we pay for the like little DistroKid distribution stuff, and they like sent me an email a few weeks ago saying that we were live on Napster, and that's when I knew I made it. You know.
But are you live on MySpace?
No, our MySpace is inactive at this point.
We're working on that. We'll get it again.
You can torrent us on Napster if you have that.
Okay.
Other than that, we have CDs for sale. We'll have those at the release show. You can buy those online at our Bandcamp, basementbrew.bandcamp.com.
Life's sure hard when you're in it. It'll be easier one day when you leave it, and you won't feel the pain when it's through. But you'll start back over again. As he looks back on how he loved her, the trees were tall and the river was rushing under, and he had midnight on the brain. Now it's through, and he'll start back over again. But even when the clouds are low and time moves slow and you feel like you're insane, wait a minute and start back over again. Life's sure hard when you're in it. Flying blind and you're caught right in the thick of it, like a dog out in the rain. But you'll pull through and start back over again. She looks back on how she loved him. The rolling skies and all above him, and a home out on the range is out of reach, but she'll start back over again. But even when the clouds are low and time moves slow and you feel like you're insane, wait a minute and start back over again. Yeah, wait a minute and start back over again. You're not insane, just wait a minute and start back over again.
That was Lizadro, Gideon Hayden, and Chris Fletcher, three-fifths of the band Basement Brew. They will release the new album, Big Damn Ocean, with a show Saturday night at Smoke and Barrel Tavern in Fayetteville. There is a $5 cover, and Jamie Lou Connolly and friends will open the show. You can find out more at Basement Brew's Facebook page, and you can find the new album at basementbrew.bandcamp.com.
The 31st annual Chili Pepper Cross Country Race is Saturday, October 5th at the University of Arkansas's Cross Country Course in Fayetteville. Both college and high school teams will be competing, plus 750 runners will participate in 10K, 5K, and 1 mile. Proceeds support local high school cross country programs. Registration and information available at chilipepperfestival.org. Sona, the Symphony of Northwest Arkansas, kicks off its 65th anniversary season November 9th at Walton Arts Center. Maestro Paul Haas and Sona musicians present the season's first Masterworks concert, performing Rachmaninoff's symphonic dances and Beethoven's Violin Concerto, featuring violinist Jennifer Frauci. Tickets available at 443-5600 or sonamusic.org.
Monday on Ozarks, music that spans a few centuries will be presented on the University of Arkansas campus next week. The World Music Ensemble returns to the Furman Garner Performance Studio to preview a pair of concerts of music from the Mediterranean. That's on Monday's Ozarks at Large at noon and 7 on 91.3 KUAF. Contributors today included Antoinette Grajeda, Timothy Dennis, and Susanna Sitek brought us news about the Meet the Momentary event tomorrow in Bentonville. Our Friday appreciation to Michael Tilley from Talk Business and Politics and Becca Martin Brown from the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette for their help today. Our theme is written and performed by Daryl Sean. Ozarks at Large is a production of 91.3 KUAF, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Bentonville, and Clarksville. 91.3 KUAF, a listener-supported service of the J. William Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas. Back with you Sunday morning at 9 for Weekend Ozarks at Large. And Monday, we will start another week of new daily editions of Ozarks at Large. That's every weekday at noon and 7 p.m. I'm Kyle Kellums. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great weekend.